Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
Committing to climate change in Europe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. European leaders are poised to reach an historic pact on climate change over the next 2 days. The European Commission wants a pledge to cut greenhouse gas emissions 20% from 1990 levels by the year 2020. But as Marketplace sustainability reporter Sarah Gardner tells us, a fight over how to get there could undermine Europe's leadership on global warming.
The sticking point is over setting a mandatory target for use of renewable energy like solar and wind. Countries like France and Finland insist that should include nuclear, a controversial choice in Europe. Other poorer countries that rely on cheap coal worry they can't afford expensive renewables. If the EU can't even agree on renewable targets, critics complain, how can it persuade other countries to join them? John Cookett of Greenpeace, however, says Europe's detractors miss the big picture.
People can take pot shots at whether or not the EU has done a good job of meeting the targets they've set so far, but the fact of the matter is they're talking about very aggressive reductions in the very near future, while the U.S. emissions continue to go up.
Europe's main business lobby is calling the climate change plan a step into the unknown, noting the impacts on the economy are uncertain. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
China now makes more automobiles than the United States, according to figures from Bank of America. However, the Financial Times reports China's car production numbers include light vans as cars. That's different from the way the U.S. classifies cars. China's growth in this area has also created some benefits for U.S. automakers. GM, along with its local partners, boosted sales in China by 32% last year. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson ended a three-stop trip to Asia with a speech in Shanghai today. You might think he got tough about Washington's number one issue, the Chinese currency. You'd be wrong. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Paulson spoke mainly about financial services in China, how the stock market needs more foreign investors, how consumers here need more access to foreign banks. Some of these reforms are happening, just too slowly for Washington.
Our policy disagreements are not about the direction of change, but about the pace of change.
One economist called the speech mild, if not bland. Another described it as Econ 101. Why no fireworks? Sean Ryan runs a market research firm, CMR.
When you're trying to work with China's government, you can't push them in any way. Jumping up and down and saying, listen to me, I know what's best for China. If you do that, the Chinese government is going to do the exact opposite, even if they agree with you.
Ryan says Paulson's walking a fine line here, speaking softly to his Chinese audience, yet pushing just enough to satisfy critics in Washington who are concerned about an imbalanced trade relationship. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Markets in Asia were up today. In Tokyo, the Nikkei soared 325 points, almost 2%. That's the biggest one-day gain since October. But the story was a little different on Wall Street yesterday. Kind of a ho-hum day, actually, which ended with stocks drifting downward. The Dow gave up 15 points to 12,192. The Nasdaq fell back 10 points to 2374. And the S&P slipped 3 points. It's at 1391. A penny for your thoughts? How about over 52,000 pennies? Robert Hancock lives in southern Illinois. He was more than a little peeved when his monthly power bill jumped nearly 200%. So when he received a notice saying he owed more than $526, he decided to fight back. He's paying his bill in pennies, 52,662 of them to be exact. Hancock says even though the postage will cost him 50 extra dollars, if it causes a little inconvenience to the power company, it's worth it.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
A survey by the Associated Press has turned up some surprising information concerning some of the nation's police departments. The poll found that certain police stations around the country allow new recruits an on-the-job grace period between 6 months and 2 years before entering the police academy. Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler with more.
Like many other small towns in America, Macomb, Mississippi, population 15,000, struggles to recruit new police officers. The work is often dangerous, the hours lousy. Billy Hughes is the chief of police.
Police doesn't pay that good in smaller towns. They can make more money doing something else.
The state pays for academy tuition, but only if the cadet completes the course. To help minimize dropouts, Mississippi lets departments test new recruits in the field, working under the supervision of experienced officers. That gives the prospective employer and employee the chance to see if it's a good fit. A rookie can lawfully wear a badge and gun for 2 years before attending the police academy for basic training. But while it may be legal, Chief Hughes says he doesn't use untrained cops.
I don't think it's fair to the public or to the police officer to put him out there until he is fully trained.
Other police chiefs interviewed for the AP survey said the on-the-job grace periods are a necessity brought on by shrinking budgets.
Resources to local law enforcement have been knocked down and been getting cut down over the past several years.
That's John Furman with the International Association of Chiefs of Police.
What you're seeing here in this AP poll is decisions being made to maximize resources even pre-academy.
Critics say some departments use the grace period to cover up nepotism, giving out jobs to people without the physical or intellectual qualifications. Again, Mississippi Police Chief Hughes.
I know in some of the rural counties I have heard of people working up to the 2 years and then they're dismissed and 6 months later they hire them again. The old good old boy system, and it's still in every state.
The AP survey found 30 states allow grace periods for untrained cops. It's a practice that could lead to big lawsuits as people blame untrained police officers for injuries and wrongful deaths. Some suits have already resulted in multi-million dollar settlements. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
We don't have a grace period, but we do make it very easy for you to catch Marketplace if you're on the go. That's because we're podcasting. Just visit our website for more information. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.